أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. اللهم صل على ولي أمرك القائم المؤمل والعدل المنتظر وحفه بملائكتك المقربين وأيده بروح القدس يا رب العالمين. واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم من ليلنا هذا إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه المجيد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين. صلوات الله صل على We have arrived to my last night of deliveries in Dar es Salaam, and by the grace of the Almighty I have benefited a lot, and I hope in reciprocation you have benefited, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all our amals during these nights, inshallah. As per promise yesterday, we will take an overview as we end the topic today, Imamat. We will take an overview of the signs before the reappearance of the Imam. There are so many signs, and I do not wish to bore an audience that is so well versed, that has heard so many different Zakirin come here and talk about the signs of the reappearance of the Imam. And if you think that I am going to go around down the same route with the gramophone, this is what will happen towards the end of the world, and before the Imam reappears, women will wear clothes of men, and they will start driving cars, and they will do business, and this and that. That I don't want to do, because we have heard so many signs. I just want to, an overview, to understand that when we talk of the signs of the reappearance of the Imam, there are two kinds of signs. One are what is called the general signs. These general signs depict the end of the time, that before the Imam reappears, this will be the state of the society. This is not a definite sign, this is what is called a general sign. It just generally defines the society in which the Imam will reappear. And secondly, there are the definite signs. Now, the definite signs are those signs without which the Imam will not reappear. They have to take place, and when they take place, the Imam will definitely reappear. And the beauty is that if you collect everything, you collect all these different signs, especially the definite signs, you find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down a timetable, that from the time the first definite sign takes place up to the time the Imam will reappear is around a year's time. So that within that year, people who now start believing and say, yes, this is a sign, the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one. Finally, 15 days before his reappearance, and you have a sign saying, this is the final sign, or rather, this is yet another sign, and you know, according to certain indications, that if the Imam were to reappear, then it would be around this date. So, if we study the signs, let us study them in light of this, that we can attach to the signs a kind of timetable. Although, there is no doubt, the hadith is very clear, which says, كَذَبَ الْوَقَّتُونَ. Liars are those who claim to fix up time and say, this is the date the Imam will reappear. Those people are liars. The sixth holy Imam said. So those who come and tell you Nostradamus has predicted the reappearance of the Imam on this date, the Imam says they are liars. Kadhabal waqqatun. But to be able to predict in the sense that signs come one after another, and now we put them together, and within a span of a year only, nobody can fix that year, whether it will be 2006 or 2010 or 3000, nobody knows which year, but within that span of the year, there are so many signs that will take place, that will give us a clear indication that now the Imam has to reappear, now the Imam's reappearance is very close. So, to talk about the general signs are those signs that depict the destruction of society, eradication of social values, erosion of social values, where our culture is nowhere near the Islamic values. All these that will happen, you find these things are not necessarily haram. This is where we misunderstand. When we talk of the general signs of the reappearance of the Imam, we feel we have to condemn this behavior because it is a sign that indicates the reappearance of the Imam. For example, a very clear sign, one of the signs that has been mentioned many times, women will be partners with their husbands in their businesses. Very clearly. Women will be partners with their husbands in their businesses. Shaheed Muhammad al-Sadr, the one I was referring to a few days ago, who has written this encyclopedia on the Imam, he says, now we have to ask ourselves, that is that haram or not? It's not haram. If the business itself is not haram, if the wife participating partner with her husband is not subjected to any act that is haram, then taking partnership with her husband, what is wrong with it? Just because it is a sign that signals the reappearance of the Imam does not necessarily make it bad. What we are used to, ajoto akhar zaman nishanji. And we outright condemn that behavior. That is not true. We have to understand that what the Prophet and the Imams have told us in terms of signs of reappearance of the Imam, these are simply indications of the state of the society when the Imam will reappear. Some of them are haram, some of them are not haram, some of them are despicable and condemnable, but some of them are not necessarily that. Some of them are only indicative of a change in society, that the society will have gone from one culture to another culture, from a culture during the time of the Holy Prophet where people could not even comprehend women accompanying their husbands going out of Medina to buy things and come back with their caravans to do business. No, they could not comprehend that culture, so they could not understand how women will take part with their husbands in their businesses. So that is why when the Prophet talked about this, when the Prophet talked about all these general signs, is one very long hadith, a very long hadith. where the Prophet asked questions. He says, don't you want me to tell you, to describe to you how people will be leading their lives towards the end of the time? And nobody asked, nobody came forward except Salman al-Farsi. He came forward and he said, Ya Rasulallah, can't you tell me what will happen? And this long hadith, if you read the hadith, after every two or three signs, Salman would interject and said, Ahada kainun Ya Rasulallah, is this what is going to happen, O Holy Prophet? Bala Ya Salman, wa aktharu min dhalik, and more than that, I'll tell you. To that, it was not haram, it was just surprise and amazement. Salman could not believe what he was listening. Is this what is going to happen? Well, everything has been mentioned. Everything that has been mentioned has already happened after the death of the Prophet, is still happening. We feel surprised that these things that happen in our society, well, you know, when you hear, sometimes you want to weep. Sometimes when you compare with a society that you would like of true Islamic values, yet when you hear things happen, you want to, it defies belief. You want to ask, is this true of our society? In our society, which is only what, 150, 200 years old? And a society that converted to Islam because of its values. And today in 150, 200 years times, we are already indicative of the same signs that the Holy Prophet had said. Okay, where brother eats from brother. Paisa khaije. Where orphans' rights are not protected. All these things. When these things were spoken by the Holy Prophet, Salman felt surprised and said, is this going to happen? Well, it is happening around us. It was happening even at that time. After the Holy Prophet's death, when things took a turn, when Banu Umayya came into power, when Banu Abbasi came into power, these things were happening at that time. So much so that people who are so close to the Imam, the pure and pristine companions of the Imam, were constantly thinking, now is the time for the Imam to reappear. Mata Nasrullah. The kind of political persecution. In fact, we are enjoying, as far as political persecution is concerned, we are a free people. We don't have the kind of persecution that they went through. They could not even practice Shiaism truly during the time of the 6th and the 7th Imam, during the time of the 10th and the 11th Imam. They could not practice Shiaism freely. But today, we are so free. So what kind of conditions are we living in? But when it came to describing the individuals, that women would go to the lengths of doing this, or people would go to the lengths of eating away the rights of the orphans of their own brothers, all these that was mentioned, people could not imagine during the time of the Holy Prophet, because this famous hadith was by the Holy Prophet. But as time passed, after the 12th Imam's Ghaibah, in Ghaibat Sughra, in Ghaibat Kubra, so many incidents happened where everybody thought, now the Imam will reappear. So much trouble, so much difficulties, now the Imam will reappear. No, nobody knows when the Imam will reappear. What we do know, one thing is for certain, إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. Yet they think it is very far, because every time society thought, look at history, every time society thought, now is the time Imam would reappear, suddenly there would be a wave of respite, and now there is peace. Then comes again time when there is pressure, when we think now the Imam has to reappear, then there is respite, now no, it is okay. Then again there is pressure, now the Imam has to reappear. No, history is full of these kind of incidents in time. So when will the Imam reappear? Let not the general signs be deceiving. The general signs will come and go. The general signs have happened. They are indicative of our nature of going away from the true teachings of the Ahlul Bayt. And our society will be no different if we follow down the same route that these Muslims who call themselves the Muslims, remember the Banu Abbasi who poisoned our imams, the Banu Abbasi were responsible for killing all the Sadat in Baghdad. You know how they killed the Sadat? They used to churn buildings. They used to build buildings, and inside the buildings they used to keep the Sadat alive and then build buildings around them. The walls of Baghdad are built around the bodies of Sadat. All this zulm was done by Banu Abbasi, who are Shias and claimed to be the descendants and close relatives of the Holy Prophet. So just by being a Shia, let's not take pride, because many people will come and tell you, you are Shia, Banu Abbasi are Shias. Banu Abbasi went to the sixth Holy Imam and said, this is your right. You help us, we will fight and give it back to you. The same ones who killed all those relatives, all those supporters of the sixth Imam. So let's talk about the specific signs. The specific signs, the clear ones will start, the clear indications will start from the month of Ramadan. And of course, you may have heard there are indications, there are many ahadith that say that the Imam will reappear on the day of Ashura, 10th Muharram. So if you keep a hadith, if you keep the hadith that says 10th of Muharram, that is the day of Ashura, it will be a Friday. If you keep that on one side and say, fine, that from the month of Ramadan up to Muharram is 3 to 4 months only. Yeah? Within that time, there will be these clear signs that are indicative of the reappearance of the Imam. Fixed signs, specific signs, not subject to interpretation or rather misinterpretation. And these signs will be so close to each other that now then we have to be sure that the faraj, that the reappearance of the 12th Imam is so close. The first one in the month of Ramadan are the two eclipses. The solar and the lunar. If you remember last year and the year before, in the month of Ramadan, there were these two eclipses. The solar eclipse at the end of the month, the lunar eclipse at the middle of the month, Ramadan. And immediately, there was so much hue and cry, especially over the internet. Oh, this is the sign that predicts, that heralds the reappearance of the Imam. Two eclipses in the same month. Well, first of all, it is not going to be in the order that is normally accepted by astronomers. For a lunar eclipse to be seen, the moon has to be full. Right? So lunar eclipse, full moon, remember that. And therefore a lunar eclipse will always take place on the 15th, 13th, 14th or 15th of the lunar month. Whereas the hadith that talks about the two eclipses talks about the solar eclipse taking place in the middle of the lunar month and the lunar eclipse taking place at the end of the lunar month. So immediately companions told him, Ya Rasulullah, do you mean the other way around? قَالَ لَا إِنَّهَا تَكُونُ كَمَا أَكُولُ. It is going to take place the way I tell you. وَهَنَالِكَ بَطَلَ الْمُنَجِّمُونَ. At that time the astronomers' science will be proved wrong, because it will baffle all astronomers. How can this happen, that a lunar eclipse takes place at the end of the month when we can hardly see the moon? So what will, you see, what is an eclipse? And for my friends here, my younger friends who understand physics, they know, okay, an eclipse is when a body comes in between the two other bodies. We're talking of the sun, the moon, and the earth. When the earth comes between the sun and the moon, thus blocking the light that comes from the sun to the moon, that is called a moon eclipse. And when the moon comes in between the earth and the sun, thus blocking the sun that is seen in the earth, that is called a sun eclipse. So the body that is blocked, if we want a moon eclipse, then the sun has to be in the middle and the moon has to be full. So how will this take place? That is a definite sign, huh? Shaheed Muhammad al-Sadr radwanullahi ta'ala alayhi, may Allah bless his soul, has discussed this in detail. And he says, perhaps with the advance of science, now with science advanced so much, we don't need to see the moon. We know where the moon is, and if at all there is an object in between the earth and the moon, whether we see the moon or not, we will know that there is something in between the earth and the moon. The misconception is that up to now we are used to the sun being between the moon and the earth in a moon eclipse. What happens if a celestial body from outside the space comes and suddenly orbits the earth and goes around and comes in between the moon and the sun, the moon and the earth? Instead of the sun, this celestial body comes in between. We will have what is called a moon eclipse that is not necessarily blocked by the sun, but by another celestial body. What is stopping it? These meteors that are flying out in space, and this takes an understanding of science, huh? I'm sure my younger brothers will understand what I'm saying. These meteors that are floating around, there is always, astronomy says, there is always danger that if only one were to enter into our system, and if only one such meteor were to impact with this earth, there would be untold damage depending on the size of the meteor. So, there is the possibility of a moon eclipse taking place. If one of these meteors were to come and pass by and act as the body between the moon and the earth, and voila, we have an eclipse. In any case, even astronomers now agree to this explanation and say, yes, such an eclipse is possible, but so far it has never happened in the history of the earth, in the history that is known to us, it has never happened. So when it happens, it is going to baffle the astronomers, and they will come up with this explanation and know that at that time the reappearance of the Imam is very close. Then will come on the 23rd night of Ramadan, same month. On the 23rd night of Ramadan, there is going to be a cry so loud that everybody will hear. This cry that will be Jibreel's cry, that Ala al-haqqu ma'a Muhammadin wa Ali Muhammad, the truth is with Muhammad and the progeny of Muhammad. This particular cry will come out so loudly, everybody will hear it. The Imam has not yet reappeared. Huh? The cry is not that the Imam has come back. The cry is that Haqq truth is with the Holy Prophet and his progeny. This is the second sign. Well, then events will lead. An understanding of the army of Sufyani that will leave Sham and head for Makkah. I come back to that first theory yesterday that I said, that the Imam will be a person who is known, but the status is unknown. That means that we will know a person who will be a religious person, who will be a pious person, who will be leading Muslims, particularly Shias, but we will not know that he is the Imam. Sufyani will actually leave Sham to attack this person in Hijaz, Hijaz meaning Saudi Arabia. And as he will be targeting this person from Medina to Makkah, the whole army will be swallowed alive. As soon as the army is swallowed alive, that is the time when this person, who will be known to many people, will declare that I am your Imam. Now, this is the time where people will say, but we always knew him as this person and not the Imam. Whether people will accept him or not is the question. This is a theory put forward by Shaheed Muhammad Sadr, that if you look at the events predicted in history, you find that just before Muharram, Sufyani will leave with his army, the whole army will be swallowed alive, and that is yet another specific sign. Without Sufyani's being swallowed alive, there is no reappearance of the Imam. Then the Imam will declare on the 10th of Muharram that I am your Imam. And that is the time when again, without going into details to bore this audience, that at that time there will be people who will accept the Imam immediately. Yet there will be others who will say we need to verify whether he is the Imam or not. And there will be some others who will say we will join the Imam much later. Imam will have 313 people who will respond to him immediately. And the whole period of intivar, that is this period of waiting, is waiting for 313 people who are like him, who will be able to be the trustworthy companions of the Imam, who the Imam can rely on to send them all over the world to represent him. See, number 313, let it not scare you. Up to now, there hasn't been a time when at any given time there are 313 people the Imam can rely on. And if we think there are 200 million Shias or 200 million Shias all over the world, and that out of that you can't even find 313 people, we've got to understand that the caliber of 313 that the Imam is looking for are not those who are just learned or Shia, pious, no. The Imam needs piety. The Imam needs justice. The Imam needs honest people. The Imam needs learned people. Well, above all, the Imam needs people who are wise and are able to lead their people. Imam needs people who can act as his representatives. When Imam Hassan al-Islam had 40,000 people around him, 40,000, each one instigating the Imam, Yabna Rasulullah, we are with you, let's fight Muawiyah, let's go and fight Muawiyah. The Imam said no. He sent delegation after delegation after delegation to talk to Muawiyah. He sent first two of his trusted companions, go to Muawiyah and talk to him. These two did not come back. Why? They were bought by Muawiyah. Imam sent another delegation. That delegation did not come back. They were bought by Muawiyah. Finally, when the Imam sent group of people who were so diehard, they were known in history as diehard, so close to the Imam said, look, I have sent everybody I thought I could trust. Now I am sending you. You go and talk to Muawiyah. These two went, they did also not come back. When they did not come back, the Imam said, now you know, those around me are so easily bought out by money. I do not have enough people to fight Muawiyah. So people around the Imam, whatever we hear of them, whatever we know of them, are not necessarily of the caliber the Imam can rely on. The Imam is waiting for 313 people he can rely on. And in Muntakhab al-Athar by Ayatullah Safi Gulpayagani, may Allah give him a long life, and Ilzam al-Nasib by Sheikh al-Ahairi, there is a hadith, a riwayat, that mentions the names of these 313 people. Not only the names, it mentions the names and the places where they come from. Well, the only problem is, when I first read the hadith, of course, like you, when I first heard that there is such a hadith that gives the names, I wanted to see. Well, the problem is, the hadith has names of places that we have never heard of, or we don't know where the places are. And number two, the hadith has only first names. It has only first names. It has Muhammad, Ali, Ibrahim, or Fulan, 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 without surnames or without names of. And nowadays, you know, you have even with surnames. If somebody said Mustafa Jafar, there are four or five Mustafa Jafars all over the world now, even within our own community. So you can imagine how difficult it is to have exact names. But there is this hadith. The Imam is waiting for 313. If that groundwork is done, 313 people who he can rely on are there, then the Imam will reappear. Until then, the Imam will not reappear. So, in short, these are the specific signs and these are the basic requirements. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may He hasten the reappearance of the Imam. And when the Imam reappears, may he make us amongst his chosen soldiers, inshallah, so that we are close to the Imam and we are the trustworthy confidantes of the Imam to carry out the Imam's command, whatever he tells us, inshallah. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.